Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you listening to this radio broadcast, and we pray that, God will just bless you today, that you might be able to understand the things that are being said, that you might give the God the glory and the honor and the praise that only He rightly deserves. We would like to invite you to our church services. They begin this morning at 10 o'clock with our regular Sunday school classes, and then at 11 o'clock this morning, we have our regular preaching service. And then this afternoon at 3:45, we have our prayer service, and then at 4:30 is our evening worship. And then Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. will be our midweek Bible study. So we invite you to come to all of these services. And if there's any questions that you have, we'll be glad to take the Bible and answer those from the Word of God. Now, it may be that you can just find the answer to your inquiries on our church's website. That's independencebaptist.org, independencebaptist.org. There's much information there. There's many sermon outlines that you can look at, and even the radio broadcasts are there. And so you can look at all of that on independencebaptist.org. You can also check out full-length sermons at sermonaudio.com/IBC. Again, that website address is sermonaudio.com/IBC. If there's anything that we can do that will be a help to you spiritually, we'll be very glad to sit with you and to talk with you and to do whatever we need to do to be a blessing unto you. This morning, I'd like to look in the book of Psalms 46 and verse 10 and consider the subject, how much do we really know about God? Psalms 46 verse 10 states, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." The question this morning is, how much do we really know about God? I know that the book of Job chapter 26, beginning in verse 14, the Bible said, "Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand?" And so Job has just related some things concerning nature and how that God moves and how that God has hung the earth upon nothing, and how that God binds waters in a cloud. That's an amazing thing. And that the cloud is not rent under the weight of all that water. And how that God has set bounds for the oceans and the waters and all of that kind of thing. And how that He divided the sea with His speaking and all of these. And these things are just little bitty things that we know somewhat about God, but who really is God? Let me ask you the question. What does God look like? What does God look like? Now, the Bible said in Psalms 46 and verse 10 that we should be still and know that God is God. And so, what does God look like? Take some time to contemplate what God looks like. John chapter 4, verse 24 makes this statement. "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The fact is that we don't know what God looks like because he is a spirit. He is without physical form. Now, I don't believe that God is like a ghost or a milky-looking mist that we are able to see through. The fact is that we just don't know what he looks like. Now, somebody might quote this verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Some people use Genesis 1, 26 to mean that God looks like men, or rather that God created man to look like him. And when he said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now, I don't believe that. God is a spirit and men are physical. They are in human form.
But I believe that Genesis 1:26 is stating that just as God is in three parts, that is, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are one, so is a man in three parts, spirit, soul, and body, and yet a man is one. I think that's what he's meaning there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. We don't know what God looks like. In the book of 1 John, John wrote this, and he says, "We do not know what we shall be, but we do know that whenever we are resurrected, that we are going to look like Jesus, for we're going to see him as he is." In other words, in the resurrected body, we shall be like Jesus, although now we are in physical form and not a spiritual form. So what does God look like? He is a spirit. Frankly, the image of God is more than we could ever take in, that we could ever explain or visualize. It was Moses who desired to see God, and it was God that put Moses down in the cleft of the rock. And God passed by, and then he removed his hand from the cleft of the rock so that Moses could see his hind parts. And that was all Moses could stand. Moses was in the mount with God for 40 days and 40 nights as he received commandments from God about building the tabernacle. And when Moses came down from the mount, the Bible said that his face shone so brightly that the people of Israel could not stand to look upon him. And all Moses was a reflection of the true God. And so how great is God? What does he look like? We don't know. But I know that he is a magnificent God. I know that when God appeared at the tabernacle, that he appeared in a cloud. I know that when God appeared in Solomon's temple, he appeared in a cloud. He hid himself. Why? Because no man can look upon God and live. What does God look like? He is a spirit. One of these days, when we have a glorified body, we shall look upon him and we shall see him face to face. But right now, we cannot stand in the physical bodies in which we live. We cannot stand to look upon God or to see him or even to visualize what he looks like. I'm just waiting on my glorified body, and then I shall see my Savior face to face. Isn't that a grand proposition to think about? Now notice this. Where does God live? Where does God live? Why, yes, everybody lives somewhere, don't they? So where does God live? Before we begin the discussion about where God lives, I think it'd be interesting to note this, that God not only possesses life, he is life. Now think with me. God not only possesses life, he is life. It is not that someone has given God life, therefore he possesses it like you and I. Because God gave us life, therefore we have life. But God himself is life. God is the source of all life, and in the creation it was God who gave life. He gave life to plants, to animals, and he gave life to humans. I know there's different kinds of life that God has given, but the fact I'm trying to bring out here is that God is life, and he has given life to others. But where is it that God lives? Notice two things. Number one, that is on this earth, that Jerusalem is the city of God. That's where David's throne was, and that is where the throne of Jesus will be during the millennial reign. Notice the passage, Psalms 48, verse 1 and 2. "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God." Notice Psalms 48, verse 1. "In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now, this is talking about Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the earthly dwelling place of God Almighty. This is why all this battle is going on in Israel now. This is why it's all happening. There's a battle between God and Satan, between good and evil, if you would. God is going to rule this world from Jerusalem. That's where he's going to sit on his throne. At the present time, however, Satan is desiring to put his man on that throne, which will be in Jerusalem. Notice that this earth is a replica, could we say, or an image, could we say, of the things that are in heaven. Notice in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through verse 14, here's the story concerning how Satan is going to sit on the sides of the north in heaven. Notice the passage. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice now that Satan is desiring to sit on God's throne, which is in heaven. At the same time, going on this world, Satan is trying, and he will accomplish this, to establish his kingdom, and his dupe, the Antichrist, will sit on God's throne in Jerusalem, and the Antichrist will say that he is God. That's what the Bible tells us here in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4. So where does God live? God lives in the sides of the north in heaven. And I know that God has created this entire world. And I know that nothing can be big enough for God to dwell in. I understand that. And I know you do. So where does God live? His throne is in the sides of the north in heaven. But one of these days, the habitation of God will be with men. And he will sit on his throne in Jerusalem and will rule this world with a rod of iron. We're looking forward to that day. Another question that we might ask ourselves is, when was God born? Or when did he come into existence? Well, the fact is that God does not have a birthday. I think everybody knows that. God does not have a birthday. Somebody would say, well, now the birthday of Jesus is Christmas Day. No, it's not. Actually, that day is the birthday of a pagan god. But Jesus simply came into this world to die for sinners, taking upon himself the form of a human being. But Jesus himself has never had a birthday, because Jesus is God, and God never had a beginning, and God will never have an end. Jesus did not have his beginning when he came into this world about 2,000 years ago. Jesus didn't have a beginning when the earth was created some 6,000 years ago. But Jesus is God. He always was. He's never had a birthday. And one of these days, we're going to see him face to face. Well, I see that I'm out of time again this morning. We do appreciate you listening to the radio broadcast from the Independence Baptist Church. We invite you to come to the services and listen again next Sunday morning for another radio broadcast. Thank you now for listening.